Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette, and we're going to talk Arkansas Research Alliance today. And I'm delighted to be joined by Brian Barnhouse from the Alliance. Brian, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, are you kidding? Thanks for having us.
I tell you, there is so much going on in Arkansas, and we'll broaden this out and talk a little bit about it during the next 30 minutes or so from an economic development standpoint. But first of all, you know, even though I've written about the Arkansas Research Alliance on numerous occasions through the years, I don't take for granted that anybody knows who you are. So why don't you give us a broad overview for our listeners of just what the Arkansas Research Alliance is?
Well, Rex, thanks. I think you've been covering us since our inception 16 years ago.
Yeah, I did write about it very early on then. Yeah.
So founded in April of 2008 as an economic development organization to essentially invest in strategic research talent that generates scientific discoveries and engineering breakthroughs to support statewide economic development. We're set up as a statewide nonprofit public-private partnership. And that's important to keep in mind, and I can get into a little bit about that later. Mm-hmm. But we do this in a couple of different ways. Ostensibly, our first main signature program that we started with 16 years ago, was the ARA Scholars Program, which was our way of helping chancellors among the state's five most research-intensive universities help recruit researchers from out-of-state to come locate in Arkansas. And we act as a sweetener on top of the package that the university offers them. They do 90% of all the searching and identification, make a formal recommendation to us. We do an external evaluation of that candidate.
Gotcha.
Make sure they fit into a strategic area of Arkansas to help with our economic growth. And we essentially award them $500,000 grant payable over 3 years that they use to for startup funds, for getting their lab off the ground, to help recruit more postdocs, send them to different conferences to present results, all sorts of uses for the funds. Mm-hmm. And so that's over the years, we've recognized, I think, close to 9 or 10 of these ARA scholars, predominantly at two of our partner institutions. And if I could, I want to say just a quick thing about our partner institutions, how we define research intensive university. And believe it or not, Arkansas has five research-intensive universities, mm-hmm. and they're responsible for 92.3% of all the federal research dollars that come into the state.
And that is a large number per capita for a state of only 3.1 million people.
It really is. So, I mean, there is a study that we did back in 2009 through a group called Battelle that helped us understand that number. They did a deep dive into understanding what the research competencies were at these five universities. And let me just go ahead and name
them. Yes, please do.
So, of course, you have University of Arkansas, University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, Arkansas State University, UA Little Rock, and of course, UA Pine Bluff. Mm-hmm. So those five research institutions, their chancellors are on our board of trustees. And let's keep in mind, this is a dues paying, not dues receiving,
right,
board of trustees.
Right.
So you got to pay
exactly
to play. So with that, we have also developed a relationship with the state's only federal laboratory of any size, the Food and Drug Administration's National Center for Toxicological Research. And that's a mouthful. Usually we get it all confused.
But NCTR, and for those who don't know, located between Pine Bluff and Little Rock.
That's right. Just a short drive away on a magical campus set out in the woods. And they do amazing work there. And what a lot of people don't know is that the FDA is responsible with their regulatory mission. They touch 25 cents of every dollar that circulates in the economy.
Wow.
And the people down, the scientists and the facilities and the labs all down at NCTR, they're the ones who are developing the tests and the assays and the different techniques that the regulators in Washington, D.C. use to make decisions on the safety and efficacy of different devices, products, drugs, you name it. So regulatory science is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And we have it here in Arkansas. So back to my point.
Yeah.
So we treat them almost like a sixth university.
Gotcha.
But we don't make any payments to them with awards, but they do participate in our programs. So we were a couple years into this ARA Scholars program, and we were rightly being criticized that is the only way we're going to save Arkansas, quote unquote, going to be bringing new gray matter into the state. Well, mm-hmm. No, we realized we had really strong researchers already resident here. So we developed the ARA Fellows program, which is kind of a companion to recognize these researchers who are already resident here through the lens of the chancellor's nomination and their strategic priorities on campus.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So that takes the form of a $75,000 grant award payable over 3 years, same sorts of uses. And it's proven that a little bit of liquidity can go a long way with these researchers. And there's a lot more that goes into it than just money.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. not about all about the dollars. A lot of it's about community and networking and being able to collaborate. We know in Arkansas better than most places that given our small population being spread out pretty wide, we're still one or two phone calls away from pretty much anybody.
2 degrees of separation,
that's
I always
it.
Say in Arkansas. Yeah, 2 degrees. Yeah.
That's it. So we've developed, if you think of the scholars and the fellows, think of those as on-ramps to what we divined, something called the ARA Academy of, wait for it, scholars and fellows.
Mm-hmm.
We've now taken the scholars and fellows bit off. But now we have 34 research leaders in this community of ARA Academy members. And it's really just a special group that kind of acts as a bit of a test bed for us on what they're kind of a bellwether for what the rest of the research community needs across Arkansas. Because believe it or not, we still have a lot of good talent on the sidelines who could
right.
get more active. And we've taken a number of steps to help address that. I can get into it a little later.
No, that's a great explanation. And as you said, a public-private partnership with NCTR on the federal level now and these state public colleges and universities that you're associated with. Because, again, one of the things I find, and I certainly have found it in the economic development realm through the years, is that in Arkansas, kind of the anomaly is, even though there are only 2 degrees of separation, I have found that we tended, at least historically, to be highly siloed in this state, and that the folks in Little Rock didn't know what the folks in Pine Bluff were doing or vice versa, even though they were a 45-minute drive away. Did you find that early on in your work with the Research Alliance?
So my predecessor mm-hmm. is notorious for saying that his job has been to kill the mascots.
Yeah, exactly.
And
connect people.
You know, it's not about our provincial, where we stand is based on where we sit. We stand for the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend not to extend beyond those borders too much. But really, when it comes down to marshaling our talent into strategic impact, it's not a lone researcher sitting in a lab burning the midnight oil.
Exactly.
It has to be multidisciplinary, cross-campus, inter-institutional collaboration. That's what's being more and more required by all of the federal funders, is that our public universities and private universities are reaching out across institutional borders
mm-hmm.
and taking advantage of the assets and the talent that they have on those campuses. So you can imagine the power you have when you have a flagship institution partnering with an HBCU, partnering with a metropolitan institution, partnering with a college or a university that's in an entirely different system
mm-hmm.
in the state of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you toss in some medical applications from our med school.
Exactly.
It's pretty powerful.
Exactly. And I think you have done a good job of that already. Now, back in August, the Research Alliance released a new economic development report. Talk in general, kind of give me the executive summary of what that was.
I'd be happy to. And the title of the report is Enabling an Innovation-Led Future for Arkansas.
I love it.
University research competencies aligned with industry growth opportunities. And really what we recognized, Rex, was that it had been some time since we visited what the strengths and competencies were at our research universities. Remember, we conducted that first initial and only study back in 2009,
mm-hmm.
and we were about 10, 12 years, 13 years down the road, realized, well, the world has changed, especially in research. We better take another look and update and take another swing at how we've grown, how we've matured and evolved.
Mm-hmm.
So because what we needed was not just an understanding of where we're strong on the university let's call it the technology push side of things, but where we had the private sector innovation needs, because we know how dog eat dog competitive it is
exactly.
for our industry to stay cutting edge competitive on a global basis. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to understand what that market pull was from the private sector so that we could then have a line of sight to a set of target rich growth opportunity areas where research is feeding industry and industry is feeding research. And those are what emerged on the other side were seven growth opportunities that we can get into for sure. But that's only the beginning. Because what we found as a result of that is that we have this amazing body of work on the research side, and we had this amazing number of private companies doing some extraordinary things with their own internal R&D, but neither side was aware of what the other was doing. And throughout the course of what our study did, we found that we got to put these people together. And that's kind of the magic of ARA as a neutral third party mm-hmm. statewide broker. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't play favorites, but we do want to invest in areas that make sense for Arkansas's economic prosperity and for the well-being of society and societal benefit. And that's what these areas have found. And so really the intent was very selfishly to conduct this study and release it was to guide ARA's own programmatic investments and to shape what we wanted to do for the research and, you know, industry landscape.
Very, very fascinating as I got this, and you've given me a larger version than I had now. So there's more to dig through after we finish the interview. But if you can, will you get a little bit, in, again, more from an executive summary level, but more into the seven growth opportunities that you see for our state right now?
You bet. I'd be happy to. But let me put a plug in for where you can find this report
okay,
and
good,
download
good,
it online. So please go visit the ARA website, and that's aralliance.org. And just scroll down to studies. You'll find this big one. It's there. There's also an executive summary version. But please check it out. We encourage you to do that. From an executive summary standpoint, this report offers everyone, all of our intended audiences and stakeholders, which I'll identify in just a second, a way to see themselves as the title suggests and points out, as an enabler. We have to play offense as a state,
mm-hmm.
and it's incumbent on each of us in our different stakeholder worlds to activate these areas and take our own personal responsibility to do so. So if you're a company or an industry executive, we want you to look at this report and we want you to use the intelligence from it to help shape and build confidence in seeking an Arkansas-based university research expertise solution. And if you're a researcher or an academic leadership, use this report to really orient your vision and drive projects with an Arkan-based industry cluster in mind.
Gotcha.
So there is a third category of stakeholders, and that's we can't leave out the government folks.
Exactly.
We love them, especially ARA. And, you know,
yeah.
Quick asterisk footnote, you know, our sources of revenue are pretty important to us, but 60% of it comes through the Department of Commerce and the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. So very public side, university chancellors make up some of that. And then, of course, we have 20 executives from Arkansas's leading companies on our board, and that's another source.
I was going to say, so our audience would know, Brian had me speak to his board last December,
goodness.
I believe, at the wonderful Arkansas Museum of Fine Arts. And I walked in there, and from the business sector to the academic sector to the government sector, as you said, that was really a who's who. I mean, that's as high level of audience as I could have talked to in Arkansas, Brian. So I want to give you credit for putting together the boards you have. I mean, I'm saying this honestly, talking about the who's who of Arkansas that's on your board.
Well, what's important to note is that for the private sector membership, there's no expected ROI back to mm-hmm. their company. We may find a research project to collaborate on, and that's wonderful, and we'll work on that. But we don't promise them anything except the opportunity to grow through research and innovation prosperity for
us. But these are people who want Arkansas to do well, and they do well if Arkansas does well.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. She had a better night. And they still talk about that time you visited, right?
Oh, thank you.
You know, and just to point out that we do have very strong state support. Hugh McDonald was on our last board meeting call.
Right.
Where
right.
we were able to, the Secretary of Commerce.
Secretary of the State Department of Commerce.
Who,
exactly.
Interestingly enough, was ARA's inaugural founding board chair when
yeah,
he was with
Entergy. Yeah, longtime head of Entergy Arkansas.
And I never
Laura
failed.
Laura Landreau, who heads Entergy yep. now on your board, because I remember she was at the meeting. So, yeah. Entergy has always been integral to economic development in Arkansas.
Very true. And I never let Hugh forget that he was an inaugural board chair.
There you go.
But and funny thing is, you know, I mentioned NCTR. What the former executive director who retired after 25 years at the helm of NCTR said, one of, you know, they can't become board members, but they are always invited guests to that meeting. Mm-hmm. And Bill Slicker was the executive director's name. He said, you know, Brian, there is no other way or meeting or vehicle for me to be in the same room as the chancellor of our state's medical school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or four or five other chancellors, or the leading visionaries for our private sector. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we have been blessed to have very strong board participation. We tend to lean toward those companies who are innovation oriented. So it's everybody from Axiom to Walmart.
Right.
And
right.
Literally. So we're glad to have them, but we also want to make sure we have geographic representation. So we have members from Texarkana, El Dorado, Pine Bluff, Fort Smith, Jonesboro. And right now, our board chair is Ritter Arnold.
I was going to say, it is not just high-tech companies. It's not just smokestack industries. It's the agriculture industry, for instance. I mean, mm-hmm. let's never forget that ag remains the largest sector of the Arkansas economy. Well, you've got all of that involved, yeah.
Well, and, you know, Ritter is comes from Mark Tree,
right?
The growing metropolis that is Mark Tree, and we love him. And he's kind of famous for saying that, you know, when he tells people about ARA, what he likes to describe as an example of innovation is, with a smirk on his face, our solar flare capture containment device, which we haven't quite yet gotten to. But if he's willing to fund it, I bet we'll find some researchers who can work on it.
Yeah.
But no, he's just a big believer in what we're doing is the right thing for Arkansas. So I don't want to belabor that point, but thank you mm-hmm. for bringing it up.
Yeah. All right. Growth opportunities. And there are a number that you have identified for the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, there are seven to be precise.
All right. Let's walk through them real quickly.
Real quick. So we're talking about, let's just put a caveat out there, qualifier. These represent clusters, if you will, groups of industries that are in a traditional traded sector. And what we mean by traded sector in economic development terms is that these are companies that are selling goods and services predominantly beyond our state borders and generating new money into the state to create wealth. Well, there's one exception. One of these does not look like the other, but there's a good reason it's in here. And that let's start with and it's the first one, population health innovations and clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's not a traded sector is because you don't typically have a lot of people come from out of state. However, in Arkansas's case, we tend to have quite a number of out-of-state visitors seeking medical care.
That's true. We do.
But the reason this is strong for us is that there are 47,000 employees in the private sector healthcare.
Wow.
In Arkansas.
Wow.
And I didn't really realize that until we got into this report. And quite frankly, in the industrial life sciences category, which is kind of a subset of this population health innovations and clinical research, we are outpacing national growth. In the last 5 years, we've grown that in terms of employment by 25% in the state. And that's versus 15% on the U.S. average.
Mm-hmm.
So we are making strides. So that's one of the reasons, a couple of the reasons that population health is in there. The second one is power electronics, advanced packaging, and energy systems. So this one's really interesting. It's a homegrown Arkansas story that's kind of come up over time. A lot of it, it's kind of a system of systems with interconnected continuum of capabilities all the way from the micro scale of individual semiconductors and circuits all the way up to the macro scale of the power grid and the energy infrastructure that we have in our state. So think Entergy, Southwest Power Pool, SWEPCO, MISO.
MISO here,
It was a big one.
Little Rock is a huge center for energy energy with both of those represented here, Southwest and MISO.
That's right. Our energy industry and utilities represent 18,000 employees across the state. And that's 28% more concentrated than anywhere else in the United States. So that's a pretty big one for us. But you can sweep into that. You will, a lot of skill sets on the university technology push side around cyber physical systems, electrical and industrial engineering, material science, and of course, the ubiquitous AI, ML, artificial intelligence, machine learning, kind of feed some of these. The third one is next generation transportation and logistics systems. And this is, Matt, you can imagine what it is. It's moving things from point A to point B to point C, goods and access to inventories in highly efficient ways. It's increasingly become digitized and automated, and it's considered this the hardware side of the of one that we'll talk about in a little bit around transportation distribution logistics, which is the software side. So the hardware of these operations and physical systems are what we're focusing on. Basically, imagine sensors on everything.
Gotcha.
That's how I like to think about it. So anyway, that's about 80,000 jobs, and it also has more than $37 million in industry-sponsored research and development going on. So huge system. It would involve companies like, of course, J.B. Hunt, but ArcBest.
Right.
Also
Fort Smith-based.
Fort Smith-based. And the next one is materials engineering applications. And this is all around high performance, which are really substances designed and tailored to exhibit specific properties, right? And think of these specific properties being around conductivity, strength, flexibility, durability. And I have one good example that kind of cleared it all up. So Hytrol conveyor systems, Northeast Arkansas, Jonesboro, and now Fort Smith.
Now in Fort Smith also, East and West Arkansas.
They doubled down. They know Arkansas is a good bet.
Yep.
So they started working with one of our academy members at the University of Arkansas, who is a materials scientist and does a lot with industrial coatings. The company, which we wouldn't, the average Arkansan may not know that Northeast Arkansas is the highest concentration of conveyor manufacturing.
Conveyor belt capital of the world.
That's
it.
That's what it is. So essentially they were having trouble with their batteries overheating, and they thought it had to do with friction on the conveyor systems. Mm-hmm. So they sought a research solution. We put them together with someone who thought could address it. They came up with a product to put an industrial coating on the system, which we proof of concepted it with some support from the U.S. National Science Foundation. So we brought in some fresh money to do this. And they basically worked out an engineered solution that helped not only reduce the battery consumption, extend the life of the battery on these systems, but it reduced noise. And that was surprising because all of a sudden now they had the ability to better comply with OSHA requirements on noise pollution and in the industrial environment. So that's a unique selling point that now Hytrol can go out and obtain more customers and be more competitive in their marketplace. So that's kind of what we're that's just one example of how that would work. The next one is precision agriculture, and this should not be a surprise. And we tend to think of precision agriculture as a job-reducing set of technologies.
Right, right.
Not quite the case. Not quite the case. They do require a higher skill set, but we have global challenges that we're meeting in right here in Arkansas. And I think if anybody wants to get, if you're a student out there in university and you're kind of wondering what to do, this is a global challenge that you get to tackle. And it's sensing technology, it's automation, it's data analytics and Internet of Things. Again, sensors on everything. But basically, we're merging traditional ag practices with advanced technology or smart ag, is what it boils down to. So for instance, you can use a drone to scan a field and identify specific plant diseases just from aerial imagery. That's a pretty cool thing. I would want to be involved as I was coming up through school. But the reason it's important for Arkansas, as we well know, we're top 10 in the United States in 9 different commodities.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
We're feeding
the world. Half of all the nation's rice, half right here in Arkansas.
That's right. It doesn't all go to Anheuser-Busch, but a lot of it. But we're 91% more concentrated in agriculture than in the rest of the United States. And it's a $20 billion industry in the state. And the I would like to say we added recently a new board member position, the University of Arkansas System Division of Ags, Executive President.
She does wonderful work.
DQ Fields III, Dr. DQ Fields has joined our board. And so very instrumental in this space, clearly, and making sure that Arkansas can feed the world effectively and efficiently. But you got to have these high-tech skills to be a modern
Exactly.
So that's the big point. The next one's really closely related to two that we've already talked about. And this one is food production and integrative health. And it does have kind of that same through line as the agriculture food complex we're talking about. But the convergence we're seeing into the health priorities on food, nutrition, and next generation food technology really has to do with changes that we're seeing in the food processing industry. And it has everything to do with robotics, automation, real-time traceability and monitoring, going back to original sources of food supply, making sure everything's safe and has a long shelf life, and preserving those nutritional qualities. It's funny, when I read the draft of this report and they were talking about this and they said functional food is what we're talking about. I thought, well, that used to be like green beans and Gatorade to me. I don't know. That's, but it has a lot of jobs. So there are 79,000 workers in the food and natural resources processing and manufacturing, which is three times more concentrated in Arkansas than anywhere else. Our food and beverage industry alone has invested more than $45 million a year in research and development.
Wow.
So this is an active space. And with the University of Arkansas's Division of Ag, which is actually ranked eighth in the country for food science productivity, we have a lot of capabilities to talk about functional food, let's just call it. So especially around data sciences and machine learning, it involves chemistry. But think of groups, of course, like Tyson, but there are also companies like Riceland and Safe Foods, Foods being in North Little Rock, that emerged out of some university intellectual property, if I remember correctly. So really important to our future in a high growth area. The next one is, and you probably can figure out which corporate sponsor would identify with this the most closely, supply chain, retail, and consumer analytics.
Yeah.
This is all about leveraging data to get insights into optimizing operations, to improve decision support, and really build customer experiences, all focused on retention. So I always try to take my cynic hat off because I don't like being tracked every time I walk into a big retailer, but I understand that we do have to build engagement and experiences so that we do maintain where our dollars go in a smart way as a personal consumer. Regardless, that aside, this is basically the software side of the one I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And we're talking, but it's really bigger than that. It's creating almost a DNA profile of consumers that speak to the value proposition that drives personalized outreach, especially with the massive amounts of data out there. And, you know, there are 81,000 jobs in this category. That is 5% of the state's total traded sector industry base. That is huge. And it's growing. Their R&D, for instance, has grown by 73% since 2017. It's up to 26 million as of 2020, the most recent data available. But think of companies, of course, like Axiom and Walmart, J.B. Hunt. But there's also Murphy USA.
Exactly.
There, El Dorado.
Exactly.
They can tell
you. Huge employer, hundreds of people in El Dorado.
They can tell you that their average customer is a man in his mid-30s who stops to get $15 worth of gas, and he'll go inside to buy a candy bar and a bottle of water or a Coke. And then he's in the store for approximately 3.5 minutes. That is the level of analysis and even deeper that these companies can get into.
Yeah.
And it helps them just be more efficient and more profitable in the end, provide better services. So that sums them all up. But like I said, we had the private sector doing all these wonderful things, but university researchers didn't know about them. And we had the university researchers doing amazing work in their centers and publications, but the private sector had no idea. So our job is to bridge this awareness gap. And we're really excited about how we're planning to do that, and I'd love to tell you about it.
I was going to say, obviously, when this organization, the Arkansas Research Alliance, was created, we were badly behind the curve in Arkansas in connecting university-based research to actual industry needs in the state. I sense that gap has been closed, but would you still say we're behind the curve with the number of our states that we compete against from an economic development standpoint?
You know, Rex, we try not to do a lot of benchmarking against other states.
Gotcha.
And I don't know that I'm qualified to say we're ahead or behind a curve. We're creating our own curve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be petulant about this, but
I think,
you know, we've looked at Georgia Tech. We've looked at Purdue, courtesy of the Dean of Engineering at University of Arkansas, took us on a couple of trips up there to see, just to see what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if you compare us to those powerhouses, you know, it would take all five research universities plus the budget from NCTR plus the University of Arkansas Division of Ag. You put all those together, we may be equal half of Purdue's research base.
Right, right.
But we're doing what's right for Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
and we're playing to our strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And these, these seven growth areas are really where these are the sweet spots.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that idea of playing to your strength, which is one of the things, you know, I always preach in the area of economic development. And it seems to me, and we're about to run out of time, but as I travel around the state, and I'm giving a talk currently on this, but if you look at the things that are suddenly happening in each level, and I know you and our folks over at AEDC would like to, I'm joking here, but like to say, boy, this was our master plan. We planned it this way. But there's no way we could have really planned all of this at once. Real quickly, you know, Northwest Arkansas, where the boom is getting even boomier, to coin a word now, with Walmart's $1 billion plus corporate campus, with Alice Walton getting into medicine with her own medical school and just announced a $700 million investment in heart care with Mercy Health Systems and the Cleveland Clinic. I could go on and on. Up there, Central Arkansas, you know, Amazon came in here kind of quietly during the pandemic, now employs probably 4,000 people in the region. And we see people like Dollar General and Lowe's and building huge, becoming a real distribution and logistics hub. North of the Fort Smith area with the new fighter pilot mission that will be training fighter pilots from all over the world, with up to a $1 billion economic impact. Northeast Arkansas, where we have become the steelmaking capital of the country. None of us who grew up in the state could have ever foreseen that our state would be steelmaking. And then Southwest Arkansas with the coming lithium boom, and I'm now convinced it's coming, along with the explosion in the industry of armaments manufacturing in the Camden area. I mean, that's all over the state, Brian, and it's happening at the same time. And it seems to me we could really be on the verge of a new economic golden era if we play our cards right in this state.
You know, you're right. And if I were to cast back 15 years to ARA when we were created, I wasn't a part of the organization at the time, but we were modeled after the Georgia Research Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And they started with a much smaller footprint than we did, actually. And it took them 35 years to go from investing in research talent to a $1 billion manufacturer of solar panels.
Yeah.
But we're on an accelerated timeline, and our job is to bring people to the table, to make them aware, bring them to the table, and to put the foot on the accelerator for our economy using innovation and inspiration. So when you talk about lithium, for example,
mm-hmm.
I get really excited. I think direct lithium extraction, great, but we can do so much more with the supply chain. And there's a group working on that.
Great.
It's not just bringing stuff out of the ground and selling it to people in Texas.
Right.
We've got to have the value add up chain from that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Commerce knows this, and they're on top of it. But we have research assets that can really explore novel uses and even what's beyond lithium.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have? That we have groups working on that. We have groups working on quantum computing,
mm-hmm.
that are really changing how we protect ourselves online and are able to access our favorite retailer online.
Yeah.
So to get what we want tomorrow, today, within hours. I mean, there are all sorts of use cases for research. The issue that we have to face as a state is that for instance, I can't just sit back and hope that somebody reads this report.
Right.
We've got to get and bring and incentivize industry to come to the table and realize that in their own backyard, they have the potential to access solutions. So we actually have an opportunity that I want to let the world know about for the first time. We're announcing it here on your show, Rex.
I love it.
This is breaking news, folks. The Arkansas Research Alliance is putting $1 million on the street. It may not seem like a lot, but it is. And what I mean by that, we're launching a round of impact grants.
Wonderful.
That will basically fund projects over 12 months, up to $75,000 mm-hmm. for industry to work with a researcher in Arkansas to figure out some kind of solution to a problem that industry is facing. Now, 60,000 of that comes from ARA, 15 is going to come from the host institution or a combination of the host institution and the private sector. But we're trying to incentivize bringing people to the table to mitigate the risk and the perception of risk so that people can work together.
Exactly.
And I think we think it'll fund about 15 projects, and I can't wait to see what happens. For instance, we've done two rounds of this already, not so laser focused on industry engagement, but that was one part mm-hmm. of it. But those two rounds invested $2 million over 30 projects and generated $26 million in federal follow-on funding. So we feel pretty good that this is the right model, and it's a proven economic catalyst.
So, very, very exciting. I knew time would move quickly. I'm going to have to get you back so we can dig down more deeply, but out of time for today. Brian, thank you so much. This is fascinating. Thanks for all you're doing for our state.
Thank you, Rex, for having us and letting us preach the good word. We appreciate it.
Brian Barnhouse, our guest from the Arkansas Research Alliance. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.